T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
803-0550 to join us. We're going to get to Chris Brown in a moment, talk some more Bills football with him since they will be on the practice field today.
Also got to talk Netflix. He's responsible for my latest Netflix binge, Chris is.
Dead to Me? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dead to Me, yeah.
He's on the line?
Is it? Okay, well, let's just get right to the weighty matters.
Chris, I heard you talking with Murph about that show, Dead to Me, and you got us on it. And we ripped through it pretty quickly, so thank you for the recommendation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, believe me, I'm usually not on the cutting edge of what's new on Netflix, but we just kind of stumbled upon it. And, yeah, we blew through it pretty fast, too, and we were already looking up to see what's going on for season two, if there's going to be one. It's still not confirmed yet. So, I mean, they certainly left the cliffhanger there to have a season two. So the writer, Liz Feldman, is pretty smart the way she wrote it, because she kind of wrote herself a second season. Someone will pick it up.
Yeah, yeah. I'd recommend it, Howard. It's pretty good.
Well, I was actually on Netflix last night trying to see what was out there these days, and he had some trailer on for something called Historical Roasts. Apparently, they're going to do roasts of, like, people. Whatever. No, it didn't look that funny, actually.
Howard, anyway, you could blow through it on Memorial Day weekend alone. It's only 8 episodes.
Yeah, and they're a half hour each.
Well, I've got some time. I'm off on vacation next week, so I guess I could go through all that. All right, I will give it a shot. Chris, you know me. Will I like the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's compelling.
Okay.
Christina Applegate does a great job.
Okay.
It's still weird to think about her in current terms, because people like you and me, you know, remember her from Married with Children. She was a completely different character. So.
Or Anchorman, right?
She's very good.
Yeah.
She's really good. She carries the show.
Yeah, the Anchorman movies, right?
The Babysitter's Dead.
I didn't see that one. I'll look for that, too. Chris, the news of the day from the Bills is about Jerry Hughes. So give us it's something that I don't think is surprising. We just played a clip from when Brandon Bean was on with us just after the draft. He had mentioned this was something they wanted to address once they got through the draft and everything. So it certainly makes sense to the shorter term, the need at that position. He has still been productive. What are your thoughts on Jerry Hughes getting the extension, or at least agreeing to an extension, according to Adam Schefter?
Yeah, I saw Schefter's report. So, you know, I mean, it does make sense. I think I actually heard Brandon on your show when he said that. So it sounded like it was something that both sides wanted to address at some point in time. The question was just going to be when. And with cap money still available to them, it made sense to do it sooner rather than later. You know, why wait? The guy's been ultra productive. So what you have is a guy that, you know, I think we've all seen the Pro Football Focus metrics that said he led the league at the defensive end position last year in pass rush productivity. And I think his pressure rate was second or third in the league. It was somewhere around 18%, which is a gaudy number for those that might not be too familiar with it. So even though he's turning 31 this August, this is a guy that is still ultra productive. While it may not have happened in the easiest category to measure it, which is sacks, you know, he still led the team in that category last year with 7. But I think it was an interesting evolution last year in what he decided to do as a pass rusher. Because with the new quarterback rules, you know, driving quarterbacks into the ground, landing your full body weight on them, can't hit below the knee, can't touch the head, Jerry kind of decided on his own, from now on, I'm just going for the strip.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the ball out now. I'm not even going to worry about the sack as much. And I talked to Lorenzo Alexander about this at length last year when I kind of went to him to kind of get his synopsis of how the defense performed. And when we got to the topic of Jerry, it was his opinion that Jerry could have easily had about 5 or 6 more sacks last season had he not taken the approach that he did, which was to get the ball out. And, oh, by the way, he also led the team in forced fumbles last year with 3. So I think his approach still had a tremendous benefit to the team, even though it may have been at the expense of his own sack totals and Pro Bowl consideration, because that's the first thing that all these players look at around the league when it comes time to vote for the Pro Bowl. So pretty selfless move on his part to still try to be productive for the team in a different way. But I don't think he's shown any signs of slowing down, and I think that's probably why there's some comfort in the fact in extending him. And very quietly, guys, Jerry has become a louder leadership voice in the locker room. I know that might sound strange to some people because they might think of his personal fouls and things like that, but he did cut back on those last year. And I think with everybody kind of sensing that Kyle was going to be a veteran voice that was going to be leaving the room, Jerry kind of stepped forward a little bit more as a leader last year, and I think they're expecting him to fill that even more alongside Lorenzo this year.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting kind of character arc, Chris, that Hughes would have been the fiery guy. Bills fans would know him from penalties. They even joke about that Gary Hughes is the one that takes the penalties,
right?
Not
the other personality.
His alter ego.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just a function of maturity and becoming older, or maybe a change in the coaching staff and a change in the people that are there? I mean, obviously, they're a very far cry from Rex Ryan and how things used to be around then.
Yeah, I think there's a maturation process that's gone on here. I think Jerry, from where his career started, he was just trying to get his because he couldn't get on the field. He couldn't get an opportunity. And so I think when he got to Buffalo, he's like, well, now's my turn to get mine. And I think he was very individualistic in his approach. Not to say that he was a me guy in any way, but I think he was primarily focused on getting his numbers up so he could get the big contract. And, you know, who can blame these guys for doing that? He was coming up on his second contract. He wanted to hit it big because that's the one time that, you know, players like that can swing for the fences, the second contract. You know, and he had back-to-back 10-sack seasons and got his big contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now as he's kind of advancing to the second half of his career, I think he's realizing that what he wants is to win. And he realizes that as a veteran player on this team, he's got to pull some of those younger players with him. So it's been an interesting maturation process for him where I think now, you know, he's just as committed to winning as anything. And if it means, and we saw it last year, sacrificing a sack here or there, maybe to get the ball out and get the ball back instead in a more advantageous field position for the offense, he's going to take that route.
Hmm. That's interesting, Chris. And it's funny. I was going to ask you if the team goes to Hughes and says, don't worry about sacks. Let's try and get some takeaways. Because as you know, you just said, usually when you get sacks, you get paid. You know, that equals a pretty good sized contract for defensive ends. It's a two-part question. One, was that something that the team thought, hey, Jerry, get the strip sacks? And do you think that our team's going maybe more towards pressure rate than sack numbers because quarterbacks are getting the ball out so quickly these days?
Well, I know defensive line coach, Coach Teerlink, he was very big proponent last year in the practice setting of having his defensive linemen get their hands up.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Shaq Lawson benefit greatly from that last year as an end. I think a lot of these defensive line coaches are realizing that the ball is coming out so quick that no matter what pressure scheme you devise, getting sacks is going to be more difficult.
Yep.
On a regular basis. I mean, unless somebody completely blows an assignment and you got a free runner, you know, you're probably, you know, unless you're an all-world sack contingent, you know, you're probably best off to play the percentages. And the percentages say if you're closing but you realize you're not going to get there in time, get your arms up, because batting a pass down still means there's no yardage gained and loss of down, basically. So I know Coach Teerlink was coaching that, and I think with the way the rules were being officiated and the publicity that Clay Matthews got last year in back-to-back weeks with some costly penalties for his team when he was still playing for the Packers, I think it really kind of set in motion a lot of defensive line coaches around the league saying, hey, let's just go for the ball. Let's not worry about hitting the guy, because you basically at top speed have to aim your body at an area between a quarterback's knees and his shoulders.
Right.
And if you hit anything else, it's a penalty.
And then how you take him down to the ground too.
Well, yeah, it's risk reward.
Yeah.
So I think they saw a greater reward in getting hands up to bad passes. or to just go for the ball.
On the one other defensive line question for you, Chris, Gerald McCoy is now a former Buck. Do you think the Bills would be interested at all in him at a very small price?
I think it's an interesting conversation to have. I think Brandon Bean's a guy that believes if there's any way to improve his roster, he's going to do it. But I think at the same time, what is the end game? I mean, are you trying to just completely load up? And is there playing time mm-hmm. for everybody? Gerald McCoy, at least all indications are, still wants to get paid a lot of money. The market may dictate to him very quickly that that's not going to be the case, or at least the kind of money that he's looking for. So then it becomes a question of, okay, you say you want to go play for a contender and win a Super Bowl. How true to your word are you on that? And then it becomes a conversation about who he deems to be true, you know, championship contending teams.
Right.
Are the Bills there yet? I don't know if Gerald McCoy is going to be convinced of that if there are other players in the conversation, you know, like the Chiefs or the Patriots or teams like that. So I think there are a lot of hurdles to clear. I'm not saying that, you know, the Bills wouldn't pick up the phone and at least inquire because Brandon Bean is a due diligence type of person. But I think there are some hurdles to clear there in terms of truly understanding what McCoy's parameters are, what kind of playing time he could accept, because here it's a heavy rotational system.
Right.
And they want to get at Oliver on the field.
Yep.
So, I mean, McCoy would be a great guy for Oliver to learn from, but I just wonder if the playing time dynamics work, if the true fortunes of the Bills in 2019 are what Gerald McCoy believes could be a championship-type run. I don't know if he can be convinced of that. So there are a lot of things that have to be ironed out before I think we can even realistically consider him here in Buffalo, but you never really rule it out.
The other thing I wanted to bring up with you before we let you go, Chris Brown, lead journalist, BuffaloBills.com. If you go to their website, you'll see a piece he put together on Zay Jones. And there are a few interesting things in the article. And it's funny, Chris, one of the things you forget, I did anyway, about Zay Jones was the injury issue a year ago. And, you know, rookies come into the league and they talk about how that first year before they get drafted, you know, they're not in OTAs, obviously, and they're running around, they're getting ready for the draft. You're drafted, rookie minicamp. And then that first offseason is big for these young players because they, like Josh Allen, you get all the reps, you get in the OTAs, you get to minicamp. Well, Zay Jones didn't have that last year, you know, because he wasn't healthy. And you kind of forget about that. This is his first real off-season of workouts with the Bills.
Right. And I think Zay was, publicly anyway, working against a label, which I think is a label that he still carries with him on the part of a lot of fans. And that's that he's got drop issues.
Mm-hmm.
And those kind of went away last year. His catch rate was much higher. His drop percentage was significantly lower. And we have to remember, last year at this time, he was having knee surgery. He missed all of OTAs.
Yeah.
He didn't step on the field in training camp until week two. And yet at the end of the season, he leads the team in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdowns. I mean, he had 7 touchdowns receiving last year. That was more than double the next closest guy, who was Robert Foster with 3. So I think very quietly, he became a very reliable target for Josh Allen. As a matter of fact, 5 of Zay's 7 touchdowns came in the last 6 games last year. So, you know, he was a guy who was suddenly at the end of the season, very good on-field chemistry with Josh Allen. Now, just imagine if he had a full spring, mm-hmm. summer, you know, to work with Josh, which is the case now. So, you know, I think that combined with the fact that he really went to work on his body, he's added about 8 to 10 pounds of lean muscle mass to his upper frame. I think he recognized that one of the areas where he struggled to make plays was in man coverage. He is really good at finding the soft spots in zone coverages. But when he had a physical corner on him, manning up and playing press, he had a lot tougher time getting open, getting separation, and winning contested catch battles. And I think that's why he decided, let me get bigger, let me get stronger So even if I can't get the separation I want against press, I'm going to be able to muscle a DB off and still make the play. So he's trying to diversify the effectiveness of his game by getting bigger and stronger, and he has not sacrificed any speed by doing that. So I'm really interested to see the kind of season that he can put together. Because if he can put a 50-catch season with 7 touchdowns together for the 29th-ranked offense in football, which really didn't have many other threats besides Robert Foster in the passing game, now you've got all these other threats that are coming to the table. He's going to have a full offseason of work, getting every rep every day with Josh Allen. You know, he could really make some hay this year and have kind of a breakout season, I think, provided, you know, that they're throwing the ball as much as maybe some of us anticipate. I mean, I think everybody's thinking, well, we're still going to run the ball with all the running backs we have. But I think with the receiving weapons, I think we're going to slide, you know, maybe a little bit more towards the pass. I don't think this is going to be a 60% passing team ever. But if we get up around 56, 57% of the plays going to the air, that wouldn't surprise me. Maybe even 58%. We'll have to see.
Yeah. We were, you know what, Jeremy and I were talking about that this morning. Like, philosophically, you know, do Bean and McDermott still believe, like, running the ball, it's a run-based offense, it will be a run-based offense, or is that somewhat a byproduct of who you have at quarterback and how effective or ineffective your passing game is, you know?
It's going to largely depend on the effectiveness of Josh with the short to intermediate game, because if he has a short to intermediate game, now you suddenly don't have to rely on a run game, you know, in those second and three situations, second and four situations. You can truly be unpredictable. Because Josh can hit, you know, the underneath throw for 6 yards and an easy first down. So if he's on the money and is showing the maturation that they need from him and the consistency in the short to intermediate passing game, I think the offense can have a shift that maybe not many people are expecting.
You can read Chris's story about Zay Jones at BuffaloBills.com. Lead journalist joining us here on our Western Hotline. As always, Chris, thank you for coming on. Thank you for giving us your time on the show, and enjoy the OTAs.
You got it, guys. Take it easy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.